Like I mentioned a few minutes ago, my family and I went to Western Canada on a road trip last month to Saskatoon to visit my dad and then to Calgary to visit my mom and sister and her family. And I'm not sure if you know this, but Canada is really, really big. We spent most of the 2 weeks driving, 2 weeks in the car together all day in each other's spaces and faces, breathing the same air-conditioned air and fighting over the armrests and what was on the radio. And the boys are getting bigger now, 11 and 8, and let's just say that being together 24/7 brings out the more challenging aspects of their relationship. The bickering and the petty competitions and the wrestling, the verbal and sometimes physical wrestling in the back seat. And I will admit to pulling out the dad voice more than once, "Stop that this instant or I'm turning this car around." It was not always easy. We also had a really good time. We laughed a lot and saw this amazing country together and made memories and new friends and hopefully started some new traditions. The trip was a blessing, and not because it was all good or easy, but perhaps because it was a bit messy and our buttons got pushed and our resolve was tested. In the car for 2 weeks, there was nowhere to hide from each other or our own worst tendencies, and so we were pressed into dealing with things that needed to be dealt with for us to grow individually and as a family. And this was a blessing, a real blessing. The biblical character Jacob has been searching for a blessing his whole life. Ever since emerging from his mother's womb, the second-born son, clutching at his twin brother Esau's heel, he has been grasping for something, something he did not possess or was not entitled to. We get a clue of his personality from his name, Jacob, which is derived from the Hebrew word for heel and has the connotation of supplanting or cheating or even he who acts crookedly. And when we read the full account of his tale in the book of Genesis, we see that his name encompasses the truth of who and what Jacob has been. He has been a supplanter, a cheater, a crook. He is the one who lied to his blind father Isaac and stole his brother Esau's blessing. The one who had to run for his life and go into exile fearing his brother's retribution. One who ended up being very outwardly successful, but only after struggling for 20 years with his father-in-law deceiving and being deceived. Immediately preceding our Genesis text today, Jacob, in his exile, has heard that his brother Esau is coming to meet him, and he is accompanied by 400 men. Jacob assumes Esau is approaching to attack him, and so his response is to panic and to run for the hills, thus repeating the pattern from 20 years previous, when he first fled his homeland. Our passage today begins with Jacob alone after sending his wives and children across the river Jabbok, an eastern tributary of the Jordan River. There's a hint here for what is about to happen in the river's name. Jabbok is a play on the name Jacob and is related to the word wrestle. On the banks of the river Jabbok is to be the place of the culminating moment in Jacob's story. This is where the characterization of his wrestling, searching, grabbing is about to be made explicit and real. The text says, "Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. And then he said, 'Let me go, for the day is breaking.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.'" Years earlier, the blessing Jacob acquired from his father Isaac was a false one, grounded in deception. He has spent his life conning and cheating and deceiving and manipulating virtually every member of his family. And whenever the tension was about to explode into full conflict, he would run off. But here at the river, wrestling with some mysterious figure through the dark night, we see Jacob not fleeing, but fighting for his life and for his future. He has nowhere left to hide. And all through the dark hours, he holds on for dear life in quest of that which has eluded him his whole life. As the sun begins to rise, he cries out for a blessing, a real blessing, a divine blessing, not one based on his schemes or his guile, but one based on grace. Grace, that gift of God that transcends anything Jacob or we have done or left undone, that free gift of love that transforms lives and forges new identities. Knowing Jacob's deep need, the angelic adversary responds, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, because I have seen God face to face. This divine encounter resulting in the blessing Jacob now Israel has sought. But we must also note that he walks away from this transformational moment with more than just a new name. Our translation of verse 25 says that the stranger struck him on the hip, causing what would be a lifelong limp. The professor of biblical Hebrew, Robert Alter, says that the translation to render the action of the stranger as a strike is an overstatement. In Hebrew, the verb used here means to touch, or even to barely touch. Alter says that Jacob's adversary at the river afflicts him perhaps with a magic touch, or if one prefers, by skillful pressure on a pressure point. God does not judge Jacob or punish his conflictive character, but challenges it and reshapes it through the application of pressure. The skillful application of pressure, so he is able to live into his promised identity, his destiny as Israel, as the father of the nation, the one who strives with God and with humans. As we see, this new identity can only take shape by wrestling through the dark night of the soul, and with it comes both a blessing and a wound. Jacob walks away from the river Jabbok with unbounded blessings, but he also walks away limping, as a man permanently marked by his encounter with God. This story challenges any attempt on our part to domesticate God and to claim that a faithful life will be an easy one. This story attests to the complex reality of a God who is intimately engaged with humans, who seeks us out and blesses us, but also challenges us. The life of faith is not supposed to be easy. We will encounter pressure. Our buttons will be pushed. But in the story of Jacob, we are reminded that when we hold on to God through the dark night, we are transformed. Whenever I travel back to Western Canada and the land where I grew up, I am confronted with the choices I have made in my life. Seeing my mom and dad and sister again, I am confronted with the hard reality that I am the one that left. 15 years ago, I went through my own dark night of the soul and ended up alone at Pearson Airport with two backpacks, looking to start a new life. And I have. I have a wonderful family and a job that inspires me and challenges me every day. But the biggest change in this new life is that I have faith. I did not grow up in a religious family, but the person of Christ found me on my own river, Jabbok, and held me through the dark night and set me on a new path filled with meaning and with wonder. I have so many blessings in my life. And I carry wounds. Wounds from being disconnected from the land that still has a grip on my heart. Wounds from living so far away from the family who bore me and not being present with them and for them in their times of celebration and need. I carry the wounds of being the one who left, of being the one who changed. The biblical studies professor, Dr. Rachel Wren, says that the story of Jacob is perhaps the best description of the life of faith in the entire Bible. This Jacob that we encounter today, who stands squarely on the threshold to a blessed new existence, is characterized by a limp, and he is our archetype. Blessings and wounds, challenge and comfort, pressure and peace. Jacob's wrestling with the divine adversary is an externalization of all that Jacob has had to wrestle with in himself. All the grasping and the clutching all within him that causes him to hurt the people he loves. Jacob, whose name means he who acts crookedly, is wounded, permanently bent by his encounter with God, but in so doing, he is made upright before his encounter with his brother Esau. The book of Genesis goes on to tell us that Esau and his 400 men find Jacob, but they do not attack. Jacob approaches his brother and bows down before him. With a newfound humility, seven times he bends down and humbles himself at Esau's feet. And then in the light of the new day, the brothers look upon each other and they run to each other and they embrace and they kiss and they weep. And then still holding on but no longer clutching, Jacob says to Esau, "To see your face is like seeing the face of God." To see your face is like seeing the face of God. It is a moment of healing born from struggle, guided by the divine hand that knows all of our pressure points. As Dr. Wren says, the story of Jacob is perhaps the best description of the life of faith in the Bible. And so with this in mind, I invite you to consider some things today. I invite you to consider where your river Jabbok might be. Where, like Jacob, is the place of divine encounter where you can no longer run and hide from yourself or your choices. I invite you to consider how might God be questioning you. How might God be challenging you? How might God be asking what you need to change to accept the gift of God's grace, to feel blessed, and to be a blessing to those around you? And also, collectively, as a community of faith, I invite you to consider how might God be applying skillful pressure so that we here at Metropolitan might more authentically live out Christ's call of hope and healing and justice. What might we make the messy and meaningful life of faith more real for us and accessible for others? Canada is a really big country. And with the wrestling in the backseat of the car as a soundtrack, I've had a lot of time these past weeks to think about these things. Despite the wounds I carry and the wounds you carry, we are all so blessed. Blessed in our own unique ways, but also together blessed. Because from our own disparate paths, we have found each other. In this world that is so hell-bent on pulling people apart, we have found each other. Even if this is your first time here or participating online, please know that you do not need to journey alone. You do not need to struggle alone. In prayer, and in action as community, we can rejoice in our celebrations and find support in our need. As community, in our moments of real connection, like Jacob and Esau in the rising sun, in each other we can see the face of God. This is the family of faith. This is the family of faith. And what a blessing it is. Amen.